reinforcement and confirmation of what God has been, maybe has been speaking to us. Meditation, there's people diarying about journaling their life and their thoughts, writing them down and seeing a pattern evolve in them over time that God may be speaking to them about something. Art, and then spiritual rhythms, prayer rite. So these are all ways that God can speak to us. But how do we really know that it's God? Sometimes we have to use discernment, don't we, in all these things. Some of these things can be positive, some of them can be actually God leading us, but in our thoughts and our circumstances, sometimes it might not be God. So how do we discern when it's really His voice that is speaking to us? And it is important for us as God's people to hear His voice and to know His voice. And I want to have a clip by a preacher, Graham Cook, and he's, I think he might live in the States now, but he has a little clip about what God is like. Thanks, Dave.
What's the most important thing in your life? You will never have a more important thought in your life than that one. Who?
I'll just stop it, start again, so we'll get a bit more volume, sorry.
Think about God. It is the most important thing in the world. You will never have a more important thought in your life than that one. Who is God for me? What is God really, really, really like? Jesus came to put a face on God. He said, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. We're here to put a face on Christ. So one of the keys to actually hearing the voice of God is first of all rooted in your understanding of God's nature. What is God really, really like? And the key to that really is the heart of the gospel. What did Jesus actually come to say and come to do? He came to set prisoners free. He came to talk about favor. If you read Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 7, that's really his manifesto. That's really his identity. That's how he's known in heaven. He came to bring grace, to bring goodness. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So the gospel is the essential good news of what God is really, really like. And if you want to understand how God sees himself, you need to go to Exodus 34, I believe it is, where the Father has got Moses on top of the mountain, because he got Moses to ask him a question, show me your glory. And God says, okay, I'll cause my goodness to pass before you. And so he puts Moses in between these two rocks and he covers him with his hand. And it's like God goes marching out in front of Moses. And the things that God says about himself in that encounter, that's the truth of who he really is. It's the first time in scripture that God talks about himself in that way. This is what I'm really like. And he goes, I'm compassionate, I'm gracious, I'm slow to anger. And he names like seven key attributes, all of which are essentially who he really is. And when you know who God really is, then you get a feel for how God wants to speak to you. And your testimony then becomes the essence of the prophetic in terms of how God speaks to you. So how you know God, how you perceive God, then becomes a part of the way in which you actually hear him and encounter him. So like for me, God is the kindest person I've ever known in my entire life. He has been relentlessly kind to me for many, many, many years. In fact, I love putting those two words together, relentless and kind. Whatever God is, he is relentlessly, and he is in an unchanging fashion. You always know where you are with God because he never changes. He stays the same. Therefore, his love and his grace and his mercy and his outlook and perception of you cannot be built upon your performance as a Christian, because your performance is changeable. But God is a constant. So he is unchanging because he works out of his own nature. His approach to you is not dependent upon your approach to him. It's based upon who he wants to be. And so he is faithful, he is gracious, and he will always be that way. And so any voice, therefore, that is condemning or accusatory is literally not the voice of God. Any voice that is judgmental is not the voice of God. Any voice that is angry is not the voice of God. Because none of those were in his attributes that he talked about. And so anything you're going to hear prophetically has to be compatible with the gospel. God's love never ceases and it never changes. So the root of everything that God is doing in our life is to teach us about goodness, about kindness, about the depth, the height, the length, and the breadth of his love. So that's a precondition in terms of our relationship with him. So the voice of God that makes you feel the beloved, that will be him. The voice of God that makes you feel good about yourself, even while you're in the process of changing, that will be him. Yeah, so you need to learn to listen, to let your heart be still, and listen for the voice that's kind, because it will not be the enemy. The enemy will not be kind to you. He'd rather cut his tongue out than say anything kind to you, to say anything that would make you grow or prosper. So the voice of the Lord is kind, it's gracious, it's loving, it's generous, it's enthusiastic, it's joyful. It'll have some humor attached to it, because God is wonderfully humorous. It'll be the voice that edifies you, the voice that builds you up, the voice that makes you feel secure, the voice, even when you are not doing well with God, he is always doing well with you, and the voice will declare that, it will show that, it will demonstrate that. So, the voice of the Lord. You know, grace is the empowering presence of God to make us feel good about ourselves as we are in the process of becoming more and more Christ-like. So we're all changing, we're all becoming more, and the voice that's peaceful, that's restful, that's joyful, that's loving, that's kind, that's generous, that's the root place to listen. So listen from the heart, not the head. Listen from the nature of God, study the nature of God, because that's what he will be to you all the days of your life. And so when I sit in the presence of God, I sit in a place of peace, I sit in a place of rest. I may have questions, I may have a few issues, I may have a few things on my list I want to talk to God about, but I know that I can, me talking is one thing, and me hearing is something different. So when I'm ready to hear the voice of God, I position myself inside his heartbeat. That's why I wrote a book called Approaching the Heart of Prophecy, because to me the prophetic is about really learning how to live in God's heartbeat, so that the very way that God speaks to you and connects with you becomes the way you connect with other people. So I'm looking for that kind, generous voice that is capable of rebuking me, but at the end of the rebuke, I still feel brilliant about myself. I still feel loved. I still feel, Lord, thanks for saying that. I don't feel guilty. I don't feel shame, because God doesn't do guilt or shame. He doesn't do condemnation. He will tell you the truth in a way that sets you free to become that truth. So I will say, listen with your heart. Listen for the nature of God. And the voice that speaks to you in that way, that edifies you, that builds you up, stirs you up, and cheers you up, that is so going to be the voice of God. And that's how you know.
We have the slide, it's the three, please. Thanks. Well, does that description fit your view of God? And is it the view that other people see of Christ in us? Are we exhibiting his compassion, his mercy? Are we slow to anger? Are we filled with unfailing love and faithfulness? That's just an excerpt from what God said he was to Moses back in Exodus. Note there, the first thing he said though is he's the Lord. He's over everything. And he's over us. He's our creator. All that we have comes from him. And then he fills us with his compassion and his mercy through Christ of the mouth. So do we feel like that? Because that's going to affect the way that we share our lives with other people in our community too, and each other, the way we treat each other. Last week, Peter Dunn reminded us what status we are given in God's kingdom in Christ. We are princesses and princes. That's what God is raising us up to be. He's changing us from being totally lost and just self-centered into being his princes and his princesses in his kingdom, just right with the same heart that he has. And because he's given us his spirit, it's no longer just the prophets who hear his voice, but if we are listening, we can all know God's heart. Graham Cook talked about like placing yourself in God's heartbeat, and that's important, isn't it? Because then we begin to know what God really wants for us, what his desire is. And we can know God's heart because we have his spirit within us. It is each our responsibility to understand where he wants us to be for work, for fellowship, for recreation, for all the things that we do. Then to commit wholeheartedly, seeking only to build up, not to tear down those that we have our fellowship in with. In the passage there in Exodus 34, Moses went on to say that we're a stiff-necked people, and the Israelites had already wanted to go back to Egypt. And they didn't want to go forward with God. And we don't want to be, he said, Moses asked for forgiveness, God's forgiveness on their behalf, for thinking that way. So we don't want to end up being stiff-necked people like the children of Israel, who complained and wanted to go back to Egypt as well. We need to confess and ask forgiveness for ignoring God at times, for not believing and trusting in him where he's leading us, for holding on to the past and the ways which, although they held us in bondage, we don't want to let go of because they often felt secure. And that's why the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt, wasn't it? Because they felt secure there. They thought they knew what was going to happen. They knew every day they were going to be belted and going to make to work, but they had this measly scrap of food that they would get to eat. It was routine, that was what they were used to, and they'd become so belted about the head that they just accepted that that was almost a good style of life, rather than this adventure that they were going on, that they didn't know from day to day what was going to happen. They had to fully trust God for what was going to happen. And that was scary. But we need to ask God's forgiveness when we want to hold on to those old things in our lives because they're familiar, they're secure. We need to be looking forward. And God wants us not to look back. He wants us to continually look forward because He's forgiven us that past. He's dealt with it. I guess it's a bit like, I had this sort of thought that we're a bit like a glass and we've got mucky stuff in us. And we're not actually able to tip that glass out and get rid of the mucky stuff. But God is able to pour in His pure water in the top to flush out the muck out of our lives. And as it overflows, it carries with the impurities out. And if it's done long enough, eventually we'll clean the whole glass. But we're often tempted to put our hand across the top and to stop the water from getting in, because we still want to hang on to those old things inside of us. But we need to, and forgiveness, confession really is taking that hand off the top of that glass of our lives and letting God to continue pouring in His new life and His life into us. So, when we hear God's voice here, it needs to be full of compassion, slow to anger. Doesn't mean that He's not going to rebuke us, but He doesn't condemn us. Remember, Jesus came into the world not to condemn it, but to save it. And another thing that Jesus said, His sheep will know His voice. And so if we're seeking to follow Christ, we can use some of the words that Graham Cook's brought out from Exodus 34 there to help us discern just which voice is really God's. And the other thing is, Jesus assures us that when we're part of His family, we will know His voice and be able to follow. So that's the first part of my thoughts for today, and for us to remember that He is Lord. Right, so we're going to have a short time of just reflection now, or we do. Yeah. So I'd encourage you all just to take that hand off the top of the glass today. Confess what the things that we're trying to hold on to because they feel secure, so that God can pour His water in and flush us out, and so we can move forward and know His life each day of us going forward, so that we don't actually have to look back at what's happened in the past anymore. It's a new day, and we look forward to it. Let's pray. people here, we want to remove our hand from the top of our glass so that we can receive your forgiveness. We can receive your life, your spirit, so that we can know its cleansing power on our lives, so that we can be filled with your love, with your mercy, with your faithfulness. Father God, so that we can become true representatives of your Son in our world. And so that that would just change all our relationships with each other and with those who deal with each other. That we will be alive to you. Thank you in Jesus' name.